This is the Focus on the Family International Daily Broadcast entitled A Salute to Teachers. If you are Focus on the Family Daily, the air date is Monday, September 27th, 1989. If you are Focus on the Family Weekly, the air dates are from September 27th through October 3rd, 1989.
Oh, well, hi, Margo. Thanks for calling. Before I record your message, can I go ahead and get your address first?
Okay. What's my address?
3405.
My address is 3405. Roman Road. And my name is Margo Berry.
And can I have your zip code?
This is Focus on the Family, and today we're going to hear from young and old alike as we play for you some calls that came into the ministry not too long ago from folks who wanted to leave a message for their teacher. I'm Mike Trout, our host is psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson, and welcome to this broadcast as we start off the week, Doctor.
Michael, you've heard of Red Letter Day?
Yes.
And Red Plate Day for a special person?
Yes.
Yes, well, this is a Red Apple Day, because this is the day that we honor...
You are such a clever person.
We're going to honor the teachers of North America and tip our hat to them. They do a wonderful job. They've taken a lot of flack, a lot of hits. Some of it's been justified in some cases, and some of it very decidedly has not been justified. Some of the most influential people in my life have been the teachers, elementary, junior high school, college, graduate school, and beyond, who have made such a contribution to my life. And what we've done with the rest of this day is we opened the phone lines and we invited people to call in and talk to us about their teachers.
We'll try and get as many in as we possibly can. Let's start out with a man named Barry, and he's talking about his speech teacher.
Hi, my name is Barry. I'm from San Antonio, Texas. When I was in about the third, fourth, or fifth grade at Harmony Hills Elementary School, there was a speech teacher, a therapist by the name of Miss DeBose at the time, and this was back in the 60s. Now, I had a severe speech impediment and a stuttering problem, and it was because of her care, her dedication, and her concern, and with her working with me, that allowed me to be able to speak clearly today. And if it weren't for her, I probably wouldn't have the future that I do now.
Hi, my name is Kimberly Webster, and I'm calling from Ohio. I'm age 8. I want to tell you about my second grade teacher, Mr. Greg Dubs, or as we call him, Mr. D. Some of the things that make him special are, when we studied dinosaurs, he was very understanding that I don't think there ever were dinosaurs. And when we watched movies, if they were too scary, he let me leave the classroom. When we invited him to church, he brought his whole family with him. Mr. D also let me teach signing to the class. Mr. D enjoyed teaching, and Mr. D liked us very much, too. Mr. D is the best teacher I ever had, and I love him.
This is Albert from Arnold, Pennsylvania. I would like to relate an experience that I had in the first grade. At the end of the school year, the teacher, whose name was Mrs. Emerson, asked me to remain after class. And so I did. She said, I have something I want you to do for me. I want you to come back next year in the first grade. And next year, I'm going to need somebody to help me with the younger children. And you'll be able to help me and be a leader. I left class feeling so good about myself. I didn't realize that it was failing because I wasn't ready for the second grade. But when I went to school the next year, she was true to her word and always asked me to help pass out the papers and assist her in other things. She made a difference in my life. If I could see her today, I'd give her a big hug. I still like her to this day.
222 is red hot. 222 is red hot. This is from the class of 1961 to 63. Mrs. Emerson Banks was my homeroom teacher at John Adams Junior High School in L.A. This is Linda Lagahit. I remember how you used to stand in front of our class trying to tell us of your Jesus and not being able to mention the words God or Jesus. Jesus, but I knew what you meant. I used to sneak into the school building before classes would start, and I would stand outside the room and watch you play the piano and sing about your Jesus. I would cry because I wanted to know what you had, and it took me 20 years before I was saved. And I just wanted to let you know that you did touch and make a difference in this person's life. I know now that you prayed for your students, and I have been praying for you for 15 years now. I love you, and I thank you, and now I know you're Jesus.
My name is Karen Appalilli, and I would like to toot the horn for a peach of a teach named Betty Gray. Betty teaches handicapped children at Revere School in San Diego, and all of the children in Betty Gray's class are mentally retarded, so they don't have use of their hands or legs, and my little boy is unable to even speak, so he can never say as much to her as thank you. Or he can't give her a simple little hug around the neck. However, as a grateful parent, I would like to rise up and call her blessed for the loving hands she extends to my little boy day in and day out. Wow, what a teacher and what a difference she's made in my little boy's life. Betty, we love you, the Napa Lily family.
My name is Arlene Williams, and I live in Colorado Springs. After a year or more of my friend asking me every week if I would go to church with her, I finally accepted on one condition that she never asked me again. I went, and I loved it. This was in 1977 in Calvary Church of the Nazarene in Puerto Rico. It was an English-speaking church. My Sunday school teacher made such a big impression on me. I was only 16, and 3 months or so after attending her class, I gave my heart and life to Jesus. She never told us it would be easy, but told us about Jesus' love and help through all of our life situations. I'm 31 now and have served him for all these years. If you're listening, I don't even know your name, but I just love you so much, and I wish I could hug you and kiss you and thank you in person. If I never meet you here, my hope is to be with you in heaven, for I will be one of the jewels in your crown.
Hi, this is Margot. I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia. And my favorite teacher is Juliet. And she's a French teacher, and she helped me learn French. And she did all these fun art and crafts.
Hi, this is Bob Fugmeyer, and I'm from Seattle, Washington. My favorite teacher was Mr. Eberhardt, my sixth grade teacher. He taught trust, honesty, and exemplified fair play. To give you an idea, I was caught changing a low grade on a report card, and my mom called to confirm the grade. Well, mom told me that Mr. Eberhardt wanted to meet with me, and it was kind of strange because it was on a Saturday. So I rode on over to his house on my bicycle. He invited me in, and we played pool for 2 hours. And he talked about life and how important it was to take the lumps with the good. And not once did he even talk about me changing my grade. But I'll tell you what, I would have done anything for that teacher. And he was one of the reasons that has influenced me to become a teacher here in Seattle. And I'm a fifth grade teacher, and I really love the teaching profession. And I sure appreciate what Mr. Dobson is doing there with Focus on the Family.
Hi, my name is Deborah, and I'm calling from Hayward, California. I'd like to take this opportunity to exalt an academic counselor that I had in high school by the name of Mrs. Marilyn Harriman. I have the utmost of respect for that woman. When I was in high school, I had so many problems. I was depressed. I was agoraphobic. I suffered from severe allergies, and thoughts of suicide was always on my mind. I eventually dropped out, and I flunked 2 grades. But throughout my turmoil, her quiet assurance of my future success just helped me along the way. She'd often say things like, "I believe in you. I know that you're going to get your life together, Deborah. It may take you a little longer than some people, but I just know you're going to do something great." And that just always helped me along the way. I finally graduated from high school after 6 years, and she was so proud of me. I then went to a community college and received my AA degree, after which I transferred to Stanford University, and the woman was so ecstatic. I was her first student to attend Stanford from our disadvantaged high school, I graduated from Stanford in June 1991, and of course she was there. In June of this year, I received my master's degree in education and my teaching credential from Stanford. And Mrs. Harriman could not have been more proud of this former high school dropout. And one reason why I decided to become a teacher is because I want to provide assurance to my students that they can succeed despite the seemingly insurmountable odds that, you know, they may face. I want to pass on the legacy of that wonderful woman, Mrs. Harriman, to a whole new generation of kids.
Hi, my name is Joelle Karen Frank, and I live in Chateauguay, Quebec. My favorite teacher is my French teacher, Mademoiselle Pascal Lehe. I like her because she would pull one of our names out of a box and treat that person to lunch at McDonald's. She makes us feel special. I want to thank the Lord for giving me such a nice teacher this year.
This is Lisa from Gastonia, North Carolina. As I was preparing my schedule for my senior year of high school, the Holy Spirit seemed to be compelling me to take chorus. I was hesitant at first because even though I had a great love for music, I felt more comfortable taking academic classes. Nevertheless, I obeyed the Spirit's guidance and took a chorus class. To my disappointment, our original teacher had to take a maternity leave, and we received an interim teacher named Mr. Montgomery. We found out what a terrific blessing he was. His dedication to music, his principles in life, and his standards as a Christian individual helped to make us good friends. I learned a great deal from Mr. Montgomery about music and, more importantly, about being a good person. He will always be my favorite teacher, best friend, and so much more, as we were married June the 20th, 1992. I love you, Mr. Montgomery.
My name is Jenny from St. Louis, and my favorite teacher was my sixth grade teacher, Mr. Balker. I was really shy, but he always singled me out and encouraged me. One thing I'll never forget about him was we were having a relay races to determine the fastest girl and boy in the sixth grade. And that's a really big deal. I wanted to be the fastest, but I was the youngest and smallest kid in my class and wasn't very athletic. Well, we got two chances at our sprint while Mr. Balker timed us with his stopwatch. On my first run, I thought I'd never run faster, but I checked my time with him and I was in last place. He looked so heartbroken. He just said, "Try harder. I know you can do it." Well, I was the last one to run. I was so determined not to be in last place. When he blew the whistle, I ran as fast as I could, but halfway through, my feet got tangled, and I fell skidding on the pavement. While laying there in shock before the pain hit, I heard Mr. Balker screaming. I turned to see him running to me, jumping up and down, yelling, "You did it! You did it!" I stood up to meet him. I was really startled by his reaction, so I didn't notice my scraped and bleeding hands and knees. "Well, you did it! You're the fastest girl runner in the sixth grade!" He was happier than I had ever seen him. "You flew half the distance. What a lunge. I've never seen anything like it." I wanted to tell him it was an accident. I wanted to say something, but I just stood there smiling. He leaned down to me and said, "I'm so proud of you." He could have disqualified me. I could have been labeled a class klutz or a last place loser, but Mr. Bacher chose to make me a winner. That was 20 years ago. My sixth grade teacher was proud of me for nothing, and it changed my life. I just really hope there's a Mr. Balker out there for my kids.
This is Nancy Davis calling from Beaumont, Texas, and I didn't have to think twice to recall my favorite teacher, whose name was Mr. Bob Wells. Mr. Wells was my eighth grade math teacher on Eielson Air Force Base in Alaska. Mr. Wells never treated me like the struggling, immature middle schooler that I was. He always made me feel like I had great potential and worth as a person. And even after I moved on to high school, Mr. Wells and I kept in touch. Once he saw me on a date with a fellow of questionable character, and later he took me aside to say that he felt I could do much better than that. The boy didn't look so great to me after that, because what Mr. Wells thought of me mattered more. I have no doubt that this wonderful teacher touched other lives over the years, and I'm thankful for his touch on mine. God bless you, Mr. Wells, and you too, Dr. Dobson, and Focus on the Family.
What a nice way to end about 20 minutes of comments from some of our listeners regarding teachers that have influenced their lives. I'm sure every one of us can remember a teacher who made an imprint on us in a lasting way.
You know what, Mike? The childhood, and especially the junior high and senior high years, are so intense. I mean, you feel every single thing that happens there. as though it were either the greatest thing that ever occurred or the end of the mm-hmm. world. You know, you mm-hmm. go through that time when emotions just get expanded out of all proportion to the rest of life. And therefore, every influence of those years stays with you for a lifetime.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, to be honest with you, the last 4 or 5 years for me have burned by so fast that at times it's a blur.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure I can remember all that took place, but I can remember what happened to me when I was a seventh grader
sure.
or an eighth grader.
Oh, yes.
I remember every one of those teachers and what they meant to
me. Life was simpler then.
Oh, that's what makes education so important and what makes teaching so meaningful. I have enjoyed thoroughly the things I've done since I left the classroom. You know, I went into school administration, then I went to USC School of Medicine, and then to Focus on the Family. And so I've had a number of different lifetimes. But I'll never do anything I enjoyed more than interacting with those kids.
Mm.
I loved them half to death.
Yeah, keying off of that, we have a surprise for you, a surprise in that you have not heard what we're about to play. We have gone back and found one of the students that you had when you were a teacher in, what, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade? Didn't you teach all three grades?
I taught 6th grade, then the 7th and 8th grades, then high school, and a high school counselor, so I had quite a range.
Well, anyone who has read your books knows that those early years, those 6th, 7th, and 8th graders were some of your favorites.
I loved them, Mike. I was a kid myself. You know, I was only 24 when I started teaching.
That is a kid, especially looking back from where you and I are. The young lady's name is Sylvia Contreras.
Oh,
what do you remember about Sylvia?
A sweet girl. I had her in the 7th and 8th grades back in 1962 and 63, I think. She was in my science and math classes. I remember her well.
Well, you and our listeners are going to hear for the first time what Sylvia remembers about you as a teacher.
Lord help me.
I am Sylvia Ann Contreras from Pasadena, California, and this is a real privilege for me today to have this opportunity to reminisce and to salute that person who, apart from my own parents, has impacted my life more than any other person. It was all so long ago, and yet not really. At age 11, I met unknowingly a teacher who would go on to be perhaps one of the most influential men of our times. I didn't know at that early age that my dear, dear Dr. Dobson, Dr. James Dobson, would someday make his mark around the world. And you have, Jim. Mm. I only knew at that time that you were my teacher. Dr. Dobson, I salute you today. I salute you publicly as I have so many times on a personal level. I thank God because he saw fit to place you in my life in such a special way. You were there in those tenderest of years to remind me about how special we are in God's sight. You treated me with respect and dignity. You saw in me those favorable qualities that other teachers seemed to overlook. You cared about me. You cared about me even when I was not easy to care about. And I recall that day when several of us youngsters, myself included, stood and we wept openly. Do you remember that, Jim? We wept as you said goodbye and you drove out of that junior high parking lot. It was one of the most difficult goodbyes of my life. Once again, I didn't know that the story of our friendship would go on into my adulthood and that the Lord would handpick you and Shirley to lead me in that 23rd year of my life to Christ. I became a Christian because of your leadership. What a story, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And to top it all off, here I am today preparing to leave in a short while to go put my efforts into teaching children. I am a teacher today in the very same school district, 5 minutes away from the original school site where you and I first met. I wonder, could you have had anything to do with that? You know, if I can impart to those students just half of the goodwill that you conveyed to me, then I will consider my job well done. Jim, need I tell you, I will always guard your memory in my heart. You are my dear, dear teacher. God bless you.
My goodness. I don't know, Sylvia. And I sat here with you with tears in my eyes and a lump in my throat. That must have been extremely meaningful as you listened to it.
I was looking through the glass mic at our engineers and producers, and I think it affected everybody that way. My goodness. It had special meaning for me. I heard that for the first time just now, and it took me back to those years when I was teaching school. Man, I loved those kids. I remember what she's talking about. That day in the parking lot when it was the last day of school and teachers are packing up, you know, and they're putting their stuff away. And I was leaving for the last time. I was going on to other responsibilities. And about 10 or 12, 15 kids just wouldn't leave. I mean, the school was out. It ended the day before. And they just hung around me that whole day. And I had tears in my eyes that day. And I got in that car to leave. And those kids were snorting out there. And I cried all the way out the parking lot. I can still feel that today. And you just don't know. You know, how would I have known at that time that I was having that kind of impact on Sylvia and her friends? You know, it just... that's what makes teaching so precious and so wonderful, is that God loans those little minds to you at a time when you can shape them and you can have an opportunity to influence them for a lifetime. Sylvia, if you're listening out there today, that was a very nice thing to say, and Shirley and I love you.
Clarify something for me. She indicated that she accepted the Lord when she was 23, and you led her to the Lord, you and Shirley?
Well, there's a story there. It's not quite like that. But I lost track of Sylvia after I said goodbye to those junior high kids that day, and I went on to other responsibilities, as I said. And years later, she found me. I had an unlisted phone number, and somehow she found me. She'd gone to considerable effort to locate me because I was by that time at USC. And we talked on the phone, and we talked for a few minutes, and then Sylvia said, could I ask you a personal question? I said, yeah, sure. And she said, where do you go to church? And I told her, and she said, good, I wanted to know that. And so we finished the conversation and hung up. And in a few weeks, she showed up at our church and became a member there and eventually gave her heart to the Lord. And one day I was coming out of the church, and she was standing out there in the sunshine, and I walked up to her and I said, Sylvia, I want to ask you a question. Why did you go to such effort to find me after all those years? I know it was not easy to track me down. Why did you do that, and why did you want to know what church I went to? And she paid me the highest compliment anyone has ever paid me. She said, when I was in the seventh grade, you were the only person in my life that thought I was important or worth anything. And she said, I wanted to know your Jesus. Isn't that incredible? So even though I was not able way back then to directly lead a student to the Lord in a public school setting, I still was able, just through caring for her, to influence her spiritually, and that's a real highlight of my life. I don't have many stars in my crown. I'll take all of them I can get.
Well, today has been a great day on Focus on the Family, as we have given many of you in our listening audience a chance to talk about those people, those teachers who have influenced you. I was out in the garage cleaning out a box the other night and came across some of my old report cards from elementary and junior high school, and on one of the junior high school cards, there was a note from the teacher, and it said, excellent student, very aggressive in class, talks too much. I'm still doing that today.
You make a living at it, right? Well, we're at the end of the broadcast, and I just want to say again thank you to Sylvia and to all those people who called in and talked about their teachers. I also want to reach through this microphone and collectively hug all the teachers who are out there who work so hard. I don't think I've ever worked any harder than I did in the classroom. By the end of the day, I had chalk dust from head to toe and a stack of papers to the sky, but it was worth every minute of it. And that's why we have dedicated this program to teachers and this magazine, Teachers in Focus. I hope that it'll be a blessing to public and private and homeschool teachers around the world.
Oh, I'm sure it will be. This is Focus on the Family. We have had a lot of fun hearing from a number of you for the past 20 minutes or so. Unfortunately, I know in some areas where this broadcast is heard, we are not able to provide resources such as this magazine, but in others we can. Regardless, I trust that the presentation we've shared with you over the last few minutes has been helpful. You're listening to Focus on the Family. Our host is psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson. Our producer has been Heidi Isaac. Engineering and production were handled by Pete Stokey and Keith Valenzuela. Our executive producer is Bobby Valentine, and I'm Mike Trout.